And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1999. This is issue number 177, and this is Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your checks payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send it to me, Fred Vobey, that's V-O-B-B-E, at 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you have any questions, you can reach me at 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. If you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv@nrcdxas.org. That's F-R-E-D-V at nrcdxas.org. And the National Radio Club's webpage is appropriately at www.nrcdxas.org. Well, this is our last issue of 1999. And as we start the year 2000 off, we'll start our countdown to our 15th anniversary. The DX Audio Service was started in April of 1985 when some blind friends told me that I was lucky that I could read those old trade magazines that I so often take for granted. Now, early in 1985, I contacted several radio clubs, and the National Radio Club was the only club to respond favorably. And that's how the magazine got started, and we're still going strong after all these years. I hope to make the After Dark issues a little bit more of a regular feature in 2000. I have to say that we have so much material here that we can't normally put it on the main magazine, and I think it'd be best if we would possibly feature After Dark on a bi-monthly basis, pending any time restrictions in assembling the items. You can help bring it on quicker by any contributions to After Dark, and remember that if you do contribute, and it's something that I can use, your copy of After Dark is free. You can also help out by sending in articles which are as complete and editing-free as possible. Anything that deals with radio, or the listening hobby, or technical issues, from NPR features to newspaper clippings, we'll take it all. Just send it to the address that I gave at the front of the tape, and everything will be just fine and dandy. And speaking of fine and dandy, here's WHJV from out on the other side of our state here, the Buckeye State, with a look at the AM Switch.
This is the AM Switch. To contribute to the AM Switch, send any local observations of call letter changes, changes in operations, or other information to Jerry Starr, care of WHOT Radio, 4040 Simon Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. Now, here's Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch, taken right out of the pages of the world-famous National Radio Club's DX News magazine. Four editions of the Switch this month, starting with reference number 464 and just two call letter changes, actually a call letter swap. 950 KLIK Jefferson City, Missouri becomes KWOS, and on 1240 KWOS Jefferson City, Missouri changing to KLIK. Some items of interest under otherness on 830 WEEU in Reading, Pennsylvania. They have now moved here from their old frequency of 850. 920 KAYO Olympia, Washington. This silent station has returned to the air. 980 WTOT in Marianna, Florida is also back on the air. 1420 WLET in Toccoa, Georgia has gone silent. The station is being donated to a local college which plans to put it back on the air. And on 1480 KUPN in Mission, Kansas is gone silent, but is expected to return by the end of the year. Moving on to reference number 465, call letter changes, 650 WRPT Ashland, Massachusetts becomes WJLT, 990 WFBA Miami, Florida becoming WMYM. 1060 WJLT Natick, Massachusetts changes to WMEX as that call comes back to roost in the Boston market. On 1320 WIVR in Mayfield, Kentucky becomes WKJM. On 1380 WFMF in Baton Rouge, Louisiana changing to WYNK. And on 1530 WMEX in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, they go back to their former call of WVFC. One application of interest on 830 KPLS in Orange, California. They'd like to increase power and change their city of license to Orange-Huntington Beach. And under grants of interest on 600 CIQC Montreal, Quebec, they will be moving to the vacated 940 kilohertz frequency, 50,000 watts day and night. And on 1560 WGLB in Port Washington, Wisconsin, they will change their city of license to Elm Grove, Wisconsin. A few items in otherness on 1340 KIDS Springfield, Missouri has returned to the air. 1450 KMCA in Verney, California, their application to change city of license to Shasta, California, has been dismissed by the FCC. And on 1530 WVFC, we told you about them going back to this call in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. They were silent. They are now back on the air relaying WEEO. An interesting note, the call WMEX, when it was licensed to them, was all during their silent period. They never actually used that call on the air. Moving to reference 466, three call interchanges, actually a swap and a change. 1390 WRTK, right here in Youngstown, Ohio, becomes WNIO. 1430 WTTT, Amherst, Massachusetts, changing to WPNI. And on 1540 WNIO in Niles, Ohio, they become WRTK. One new facility has been granted. That would be on 1220 in Huntsville, Texas, with 1,000 watts daytime, 170 watts at night, and a U1 antenna. That's non-directional day and night. Actually, what this is KM2XVL, which is the experimental call assigned to the new synchronous station that will relay KMVL in Madisonville, Texas. Several applications of interest, both from Canadians wanting to move to the FM band. 1220 CJOC in Lethbridge, Alberta wants to go to 106.7. And on 1450 CHBV in Houston, British Columbia wants to move to FM, but no frequency was specified in the CRTC release. Grants of interest, more Canadians moving. 700 CKRD in Peace River, Alberta gets a grant to move to 105.5 FM. 840 CJXX in Grand Prairie, Alberta, will move to 93.1. 1200 CKXM Victoria, British Columbia, moves to 91.3. 1500 CKAY Duncan, British Columbia, to 88.7. And on 1570 CKTA in Tabor, Alberta, to 93.3. Some notes under otherness on 730 WFMC, Goldsboro, North Carolina. This station is silent still due to hurricane damage. 1150 CKBL in Kelowna, British Columbia. Their application to move to FM has been denied. 1230 KWUN, Murray, Utah. This silent station is now back on the air. 1340 WOWW, Greenville, North Carolina. Another North Carolina station that is silent due to the hurricane damage. 1410 CKSL, London, Ontario. Their application to move to FM also has been dismissed. 1450 WND. DV in South Bend, Indiana. This station is temporarily silent. And on 1510 CKOT Tillsonburg, Ontario, also denied their application to move to FM. And finally, we wrap it up with reference number 467 and a good-sized stack of call letter changes. 640 CHOG, Richmond Hill, Ontario. They'll be changing to CFYI. 850 WMKI Birmingham, Alabama becomes WYDE. 990 WWCM Ypsilanti, Michigan becomes WDEO. 1240 KKTX Kilgore, Texas changing to KBGE. On 1260 WDJC Birmingham, Alabama becomes WLGS. 1380 WHWD Fort Wayne, Indiana changing to WONO. 1440 WHHY Montgomery, Alabama becomes WLWI. 1450 WPCG in Cartersville, Georgia. They had this call for a little more than a month. They're changing back to their old call of WBHF. 1480 WTHI Terre Haute, Indiana becomes WPFR. 1580 WWJV Camp Lejeune, North Carolina becomes WSMO. And on 1590 WWCC Honesdale, Pennsylvania changes to WPSN. Some items of interest and otherness on 620 KZTY, brand new station in Winchester, Nevada. This station is currently on the air playing all Sinatra music. Obviously, that's not going to be their format permanently, but the new station is on the air. 700 CJVI, Victoria, British Columbia. Their application to move to FM has been denied. 1160 WMVI in Mechanicsville, New York. This station is now silent. 1240 CJRW in Summerside, Prince Edward Island. Their move to 102.1 FM has been accomplished. On 1440 CFCP in Courtenay, British Columbia, their move to 98.9 also on the air. 1580 WSMO in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. We told you about their change to this call. They had been silent. They are now back on the air. And kind of an interesting note on 1630 KJCC in Iowa City, Iowa. The owner of the station has been heard on their morning show discussing the possibility that their vacated 1560 facility might be reactivated and put back on the air with new calls and a new format. That wraps it up for this month. We'll see you in 30 days over the holiday season with more holiday changes on the AM band. Right now, let's head to Florida and the distinguished voice of hysterical moments in radio. Here's John Bowker with Travelog.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry, and hello, everyone. Today is a very special day. Today, we will provide you with an historic look at the X band as it sounds at the end of the 1900s. We have at least one station on all nine of the active X-band channels, 1620 to 1700. What's that, you say? You thought the band went from 1610 to 1700? Well, I guess it does, but the only broadcast station I've heard about on that first channel was to be in Atlanta, Texas, and I've heard no confirmation that it's even on the air yet. The other historical marker on this tape is that it will bring to a close the second edition of the DX Audio Service Travelog. You know, we started this trip up the dial 124 months ago, Fred. That was September 1989. 10 years and 4 months it took us to get all the way up here. It's going to take a little over 13 years to cover that same ground again, what with all the new recordings that we have and you people have sent in. That's wonderful. Let's finish up the X-Band, what we started in the 1980s. We're going to start at 1620 on the dial. You hear it now in the background in Atmore, Alabama. On the December 1999 DX Audio Service Travelog.
Sounding the alarm and sign, this is WCHG, AM 1620, Atmore, Bruton, Flemington.
That was recorded in my driveway here on the Gulf Coast just this past week, in fact. Now, Ernie Wasilowski, he's the fellow who helps keep the NRC conventions on the straight and narrow every year. He sent in a couple of recordings just recently of the situation presently in Omaha, Nebraska.
Don't go away. We still got 2 hours left. You don't want to miss it. John Stash Hour up next. Award-winning update. What was the award? I don't know, but I'll give it to you when we're done. We're coming back. This is Game Day on ESPN.
This is the home of Major League Baseball, Omaha's ESPN Radio. KOIL Bellevue, KAZP Bellevue.
But then Ernie's neighbors there in Omaha decided to switch things around a bit. And here's what he picked up for us just a short time after that first recording.
Hey, you're stuck in Baron von Raschke's claw. ESPN 1620, KOIL Bellevue.
KZBW.
57-yard boot with a wind, no return.
Don't you love it the way they snuck in that KAZP? Now, that KOIL, then, is the call sign at 1620 now. It looks like they're getting out better on X-band than they were back on the regular broadcast band. Now, Rusty Curry chimed in with a cassette featuring a number of the West Coast stations, as he was hearing them at his home in Springfield, Oregon, and it's, I think, important to hear how some of these X-banders are making it out in the western states.
1620 AM, KSMA, Auburn, Sacramento, serving Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. EWTN. Catholic Radio.
That's a KSMH in Auburn. That's right down in the Sacramento market. But now, Mark Durenberger, on one of his annual two-week trips when his wife lets him out of the house, he gathered a number of X-banders in anticipation of this month's travelogue. And that's terrific, Mark. Thanks so much. Now, here's what he got breezing along in the Seattle market area.
That news between KRIV Renton, Seattle, and
K-A-Y-I-Z, Renton, Seattle.
AUN News, hello, I'm Jerry Scabin.
But now, while we still have Rusty's tape out, here's how that station sounds down in Eugene, Oregon.
K-R-I-Z, Renton, Seattle. K-Y-I-Z, Renton, Seattle.
Okay, well, now that's all we have for the 1620 dial position, and I have to tell you, I was greatly surprised when we were assembling everything here to note we only have one station at the 1630 dial position, and I made the recording. It was made at the north end of the Golden Gate Bridge in 1996.
Solid gold soul, 1630 limited. The spinners by request, I'll be around. Solid gold soul.
KXVT Vallejo with more classic soul coming up next. 1630 KXVT Solid Gold Soul.
You surprised a little? That was the only station at 1630 that anybody has sent in or that I have recorded so far. So we're going to move along to 1640 where there's a little more action. Mark Durenberger got this first recording, I think, off the back of his pickup truck.
This is WKSH Sussex, Milwaukee. Time is now 1 p.m. We're broadcasting on 1640 on the AM dial.
Gee, I hope that was the engineer and not their lead announcer doing that. And, of course, Mark, I was just kidding. But then, good old Mark with his digital radio and his digital recorder and his car, which probably is also digital, I'm sure. There he was, driving down the I-680 in Oakland with his dial set to 1640. Do you remember that day, Mark?
Detroit beat Oakland 6-3, handing the Athletics their second loss in a row. Oakland hosts the White Sox tomorrow night.
1190 and 1640, Vallejo.
It's free, Hollywood.
Well, I think another hour is in order. 1-800-3-MOTEL.
Yeah, nice and clean. And that's what Mark got us at 1640 out of Vallejo, or as the locals know it, Valley Joe, California. You know, in the last 6 weeks, I have driven Interstate 95 through Richmond, Virginia area at least four times. And here's the best that I could catch, day or night, of WHKT out in the Hampton Roads area as we idled along at 70 miles an hour or so.
Robert K. Tannenbaum, now a Signet paperback.
You're listening to The Big Cat, AM 1650, WHKT, Portsmouth.
CNN Radio News. I'm Ed Payne.
Okay, now here's another Mark Durenberger recording.
AM Stereo 1650, KTTR, Costa Mesa, Los Angeles, K-Traffic.
Putting the finishing touches on an accident in Santa Fe Springs.
Now, you know, one of the most prolific contributors to the travelogue over the years has been a chap living in Chicago, and he too spends his vacations with radios and tape recorders traveling all over the country and in Canada, too. And that's Mark Strickert. Mark was out in California back in 1998 and made this recording.
1260 AM KGIL Beverly Hills and 1650 AM KGXL Costa Mesa. Show tune KGIL.
Well, that was all at 1650. Okay, we're going to jump up a notch now to 1660. I made this next recording from Princeton, New Jersey in 1997.
This is WJDM Elizabeth, New York. Oz World Radio.
Radio active.
And they've changed their call letters.
WWRU, Elizabeth, Radio Única, 1660 AM, cubriendo toda el área metropolitana de Nueva York.
I went out in my own driveway last evening, and this is what we were able to pick up here in Tampa, Florida.
AM 1660, WMIB, and WODX, Mark Allen.
Okay, we're going to move down to one of the more prolific people, Dale Hamm and his charming bride, Wanda, who have done so much for us over the years and ran the San Antonio Convention a year ago.
You're tuned to News Talk Radio for Central Texas. News Talk Radio 1580 and the new 1660 AM, KRZI and KRZX, Waco.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger.
Neat recording, that. Very good. And in the spirit of hearing an X-band station well, here's what Rusty Curry is hearing at 1660. 60 from his home in Springfield, Oregon.
10,000 watt KXOL, Brigham, Ogden, Layton, 1660.
Sounds like they had a little CD problem there. But it's interesting to me, Rusty, that the station from Utah seems to be coming into your home quite well, but things to the north and south of you not coming in well at all. Let's move along to 1670, and we're going to start with a recording of my own. This was made while we were in motion on Interstate 75 on the bypass around the west side of Macon, Georgia, just earlier this year.
Radio should sound like 1670 WRNC Warner Robins, real country music.
And if we move well to the north, here's what Glenn and Robin Schroeder hear from their home in Madison, Wisconsin.
We know you like listening to our station. How would you like to work with us? Our group of five Midwest family stations in Madison is looking for a part-time receptionist. If you're interested, call us at 273-1000. 273-1000.
You're talking with Madison's only real talk station. 1670 WTDY, Madison.
CNN Radio News. I'm Rachel Lee.
Okay, Rachel. Now, if they had lived in Princeton, New Jersey, this is what they might be listening to at 1680.
Wow. Game day rolling from the Greater Hartford Open on ESPN Radio.
WCTM Princeton. Race fans, hear RPM Radio's NASCAR Now every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 on Sports Radio 1680, the home of ESPN.
Okay, and about 2 days after we recorded that in Princeton, New Jersey, we were back home once again in Florida. And this is what we get down here at 1680.
Eventually, we'll have 19 radio stations blasting my voice in the world's greatest family fun destination, Florida, USA.
WTIR Winter Garden. This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Solar Powered Sundial. 1680
AM. Okay. And during the summer of 1999 from Cape Cod,
Bay Talk, AM 1690, WMDM AM, Lexington Park.
And we have a contributor also from Colorado, Wayne Heinen, who's putting together the 20th edition of the National Radio Club log, recorded this for us.
KTXI Arvada, KAYK Arvada, Denver.
Okay, now, you know, a day without Mike Lance is a day without sunshine. I hear Mike say that all the time, except he changes a little bit. Mike Lance made this recording down in the southern part of Florida.
Cutting Edge Sports Talk, 17 Hunge, the fan.
This is the home of Cutting Edge Sports Talk, 1700, the fan. WAFN, Miami Springs, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
And that, of course, means we're tuned now to 1700 on the dial, and Deb Caldbeck sent in a fine contribution to the collection from Des Moines, Iowa, along with a very nice letter. Thanks, Deb.
TWA is the official airline of Des Moines Business News Network, the big 1700 KBGG and 1390 KKSO Des Moines.
With SRN News, I'm Jeff Kreitz in Washington. The federal budget...
How many station breaks have you heard that are sold to a commercial outfit like KBGG did? And our final entry in this end-of-edition travelogue comes fittingly from Dale Hamm. He and Wanda traveled a long way to pick up this last station, KQXX.
KTJN 106.3 Mercedes.
KTJX 105.5 Mission.
KBOR 1600 AM Brownsville.
KQXX 1700 AM Brownsville.
La más buena.
Now, to end this second edition of the travelogue, it seems to me only proper that we tell you how we got here. I want to read you a list of the people who, over the past 10 years, have contributed to the travelogue. Now, I know some people have contributed hundreds of stations. Some have contributed one or two. But at least at one moment in time, your heart was in the right place regarding the travelogue. So, many thanks to the following. Adam Bouvier, Barry Chenault, Bill Roberts, Billy Sampson, Bob Harrington, Bob Jedruziak, Bob Rathbun, Bruce Conti, Camille Petreca, Chris Martin, Dale Hamm, Dan Bowker, Dave Schmidt, Deb Kaldbeck, Dick Truax, Don League, Ernie Holt, Ernie Wasilowski, Ed McDonald, Fred Vobey, George Guler, Glenn and Robin Schroeder, Jeff Miller, Jerry Starr, John Bristol, John S. Bowker, and John D. Bowker. Never mind, that's me. John Malachy, John Sampson, John W. Smith, Josh Owens, Larry Main, Linda Bowker, Mark Marino, Mark Durenberger, Mike Lance, Mark Strickert, Mike Smith, Nancy Lynn, Paul Burkhart, Paul Mount, Phil Wayne, Rick Dow, Rita Hale, Rodney Moig, Ron Clark, Rusty Curry, Scott Fibush, Scott Johnson, Skip Dabblestein, Steve Bauer, Steve Francis, Tandy Way, Tim Hendel, Wanda Hamm, Wayne Heinen, and Werner Reutsch. Thank you all so very much, and we're going to start again next month. But meantime, let's go up to Nashua, New Hampshire, for the DX Digest and Bruce Conti.
Thank you, John, and hello, DXers. Welcome to the DX Digest. This month, we're headed south of the border as transcontinental DX heats up. Plus, I have something unusual from Cuba. But first, let's head down to the bottom of the dial, 530 kilohertz, where this might be a familiar sound for many DXers east of the Rockies.
En Nueva York, ciudad de Dios, a las 8 de la noche, en el Caribe, a las 9 de la noche. Broadcasting from Paterson, New Jersey, by satellite for the world, this is WWRV New York, 1330 AM, with Radiovisión Cristiana International, 530 AM, South Caicos, Turks and Caicos Islands, British West Indies.
Radio Vision Cristiana from the Turks and Caicos Islands with interference from CIAO Toronto. Many DXers have their ears tuned to 530 for another reason, a new medium wave DX target, the Falkland Islands. A new transmitter has signed on at 530 from the Falklands. The 1999 Newfoundland DX Expedition team has become the first in North America to catch them with BBC programs. 530 is a frequency that is relatively clear of interference, with only CIAO Toronto, RVC, Turks and Caicos, some pesky TIS stations, and according to the World Radio and TV Handbook, Radio Rumbo from Costa Rica is on the channel. The challenge is to be able to null CIAO and RVC enough to at least parallel 530 with BBC shortwave. As the nights get longer, transcontinental DX improves, with December through February typically the best for coast-to-coast reception. For international DXers, with the increasing solar activity of sunspot cycle 23 making transoceanic DX more difficult, especially affecting European transatlantic DX, attention turns south to Pan-American DX. Signals from Mexico have been exceptional, which only leads to hopes for rare Central American DX. For example, check out this signal from XEW on 900 kilohertz as heard here in New Hampshire.
La más completa infraestructura humana y tecnológica en televisión y radio para tenerlo informado en todo momento. A toda hora, a cada instante, tenemos una cobertura total en todos los puntos, en todos los países, en el mundo entero. En Televisa, usted vive la noticia.
That was an ad for the Televisa Television Network. After this ad, you'll hear the ID for XEW La Cadena W.
Cadena W Azul y Plata, transmitiendo a través de XEW, la voz de la América Latina desde México, 900 radios.
Here's another good signal from Mexico, XEQ on 940, which once used the slogan Tropicu and is now Cadena Q, Verde y Oro.
Se me perdió, por ahí buscando por todos lados.
¿Usted no la ha visto?
Yo que muy mexicano, si perdiste tu credencial, ve hoy mismo a tu módulo y solicita una reposición para que puedas votar.
México cuenta contigo para que tú puedas contar con México.
Actualízate.
Infórmate en IFP en el 01800-433-2000. Instituto Federal Electoral. ICE.
Cadena azul, verde y oro.
Verde is green in Spanish, which refers to new music, and oro is gold in Spanish, which of course refers to solid gold or oldies music. And now one more super signal from Mexico, XEX on 730, La Nueva X. XEX Mexico on 730 as heard in New Hampshire with the remains of an Aurora weekend CKAC Montreal nulled out. I mentioned that the good reception of Mexico raises hopes of hearing some rare Central American targets. For example, Christos Rigas of Illinois recently reported in Jim Renfrew's International DX Digest column of the NRC's DX News magazine that he heard Radio America from Honduras on 630. My one-time only reception of anything from Central America was Radio Nicaragua on 620. Compared to the Midwest, DXing Central America is quite difficult in the Northeast. To all DXers, whether it's the Falklands, Mexico, or Central America, let's hope for the best. And how about sending a DX report to me to share with everyone at the DXAS? Now on to Cuba and a rare call letter ID. This is CMHW Santa Clara on 840, which typically ID simply as W.
Esta es W, desde Santa Clara, en el centro de Cuba.
Ya son las 9 de la noche.
CMHW presenta...
And you just heard it, CMHW Presenta. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73, and good DX.
Mark Dernberger here, and we've spun the tape back to April 1999 and the NAB convention in Las Vegas. A gathering of 100,000 or so radio and television broadcasters, where we were able to seek out some of the people who know what's going on with digital audio broadcast, to ask the question in behalf of all of our listeners, what will happen to nighttime AM reception once it's a digital world? What will happen to that long, lazy skywave fade? We got a lot of interesting opinions, beginning with longtime engineer and amateur radio operator Chuck Kelly.
Digital has been the answer to an awful lot of things, and sometimes it's the answer to things that aren't problems. But in this particular case, AM-DAB, digital audio broadcasting on AM, can solve a lot of these issues. AM-DAB offers the kind of same kind of coverage you get 500 miles, 1,000 miles, but it offers it with the kind of clarity that you've been used to on FM.
Now, you said night and day difference, so let's take the listeners who are interested in that magic station they can get at night.
Right.
It only shows up once a year. They're out in California, and they're listening to the east, and all of a sudden Pittsburgh comes rolling in. What's going to happen when everybody's digital?
There's going to be a capture effect, just like there is on FM.
So when you say capture effect for non-technical listeners, this is the either-or effect that FM gives you. You get one station or the other, but you don't get a mix.
And the reason is because when I've been a broadcast band DXer myself for years and years, and sometimes you're listening to the guy that's not the loudest, not even the second loudest, but the third loudest. You're listening for the words in between that you can hear and try to pull them out. That guy, you're unlikely to be able to hear an AM DAB.
So if you were a romantic, Chuck, and I've known you for a number of years, how would you feel about this horrible sound that we're so used to, and yet the fun of capturing that sound? How are you going to feel about that going away, that old fade in and out and the stations beating against each other so you could hear two or three guys and you could try to pick out one over the other?
For that, there's still 40-meter CW.
Next, we caught up with highly regarded consultant Ed Schober. Ted Schober has been a longtime friend of the radio industry and a visionary when it comes to digital.
I believe firmly that there will be a digital AM service, a digital medium wave service. I believe what will happen is that we will have a situation where there will be a very marginal in-band on-channel operational system, which will last for about 2 years until there's a lot of radios out there. And what will happen is there'll be a few money-losing at this point, but forward-looking.
Called pioneers.
Pioneers, right. Operators who will go full digital. Digital medium wave broadcasters will take over very quickly in the same way that CDs took over from vinyl. There'll be no reason to have an AM broadcasting service once you can have a very good digital broadcasting service. We have as an opportunity now is that the KFIs and WABCs of the world will now be wide area high quality services. The smaller stations, the Class B stations, will remain as local stations. There's no way that I see that there's enough Shannon limit in the AM band at night for stations of that class to be able to look at a SkyWave service. But what they can look at is a well-defined service area that does not have holes and dropouts. And in particularly hilly markets, this is going to be a very strong player.
Now let's take the guy who's been listening for years and years and years to the Clear Channel AM stations at night. He's used to that romantic sound of the long, lazy AM SkyWave fade. What's going to happen out there? He's going to either have a signal or he's not.
That's right. It's going to be an on or off situation. There will be, I'm sure, strong puncture coating on AM at night.
Explain that for our non-technical listeners.
Puncture code is where you essentially take and remove data which you can hear in order to improve the quality of the station while protecting part of the data to a very high level. Part of the data you protect to a much lower level. That lower data will simply be excised when the propagation conditions are not good, and you'll end up with a real audio kind of radio station.
So this is probably not unlike right now FM, analog FM blends to mono and the high end goes away.
Same class. And that's going to be based upon two components. One will be the amount of signal which is actually received in its multipath distortion. And the second will also be how much interference that it receives in that part of the service area. So if there's a first adjacent station that is operating near the reception point, you may find that you'll have a blend, even though moving, 5 miles further away from that other first adjacent station may remove all of that that limitation.
Now, blend isn't so bad, but we're also dealing with something that's not unlike the FM capture effect, where you have an either-or situation. What happens there?
Well, there's a process in any receiver which is essentially blanketing interference, where the front end of the radio cannot receive the desired signal because there's an adjacent signal which blocks it. Blocking interference, there's nothing that I can think of that fixes the problem without being expensive.
Well, that's interesting. So far we've learned that there will certainly be radical new radio designs, that the sound of the nighttime signal could be an either or, and when you have a station, if the digital is going away, it could blend gracefully from stereo to mono, down to that so-called real audio effect. Noted consultant Bob Culver brings this into the real world for those of us imagining ourselves trying to dial through the digital world with our Sony Digital 2010s.
There won't be really good feedback for the listener with his ears as to whether or not the signal is going to be reliable until he starts to listen to it and starts to hear dropouts in audio. And there's no way to tune or adjust the receiver or adjust the tuning or anything to compensate for any interference, like at night in Skywave when you get narrow banding or a side band disappears, the audio shifts and you can hear that and you can compensate for it. And with your ear and your hearing, your ear-brain interface, you can tolerate a bunch of noise and a bunch of interference. But with
it's
digital,
kind of the fun of the capture, you know.
Yeah, well, it is, because
pulling it out of the noise.
Yeah, right. Even in a crowd, if you're standing in a crowd, you can try to focus in on somebody to actually pick out a conversation in a crowd if you work at it. But in the crowd of the noise of the spectrum, in analog, you can pull it out. And if you're really dedicated, you can go ahead and listen to a noisy signal. But with digital, if it's interfered with enough that the digital quits, it's just not there. And you can't get around that. And you can't really pull the information out of a chopped up when the audio... Therefore, like that, when the audio drops out every once in a while, you can't pull any information out of an audio stream like that. Where you can, if the audio is more or less continuous, but occasionally distorted a little bit by noise. So it's going to be a whole new learning experience.
I've heard there would be some kind of a graceful, let's call it a blending mechanism to relate it to what we know about in FM today, before it actually drops out and goes away.
That's a great concept, and maybe it can be done, but that depends on there being some type of an analog backup for a digital bit stream. So if the digital signal drops out, the digital decoder says, oh, I can't pick this up anymore, I'm going to have to revert to analog, and can revert to an analog signal, then that can be used. Or if you have only the digital signal and you have the ability to still capture and decode a reduced audio quality signal from corrupted digital.
I think is what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was thinking that your throughput might go down and you'd end up with a real audio type sound.
Right, the throughput goes down, the audio bandwidth goes down and everything, but eventually that too is going to fail.
One of the proponents of in-band on-channel AM digital radio, USADR, has such a parallel mechanism, an analog signal coexisting with the digital carrier. They also ask you to pay a price for their system, a narrowing of the audio bandwidth on the analog side, the sound we now hear, to 5 kilohertz. Here's USADR's Glenn Walden.
One of the things about our system is that if the digital service fails, the analog service is substituted. We blend to analog when the digital service fails. So at worst, our system will not be any worse than the existing analog performance, and exactly in time sync with the digital. So it makes a smooth, seamless transition to analog from digital. In the future, we would turn off the analog and turn all the energy in the band into digital. This system will perform very, very well.
I pressed Glenn on whether or not they were considering Skywave reception in their design.
The USADR's goal in developing an iBox system is to develop a system that's intended primarily for ground wave service area. We have not done much testing with the system on Skywave, although we have gone out and listened to it back in 1995 on Skywave. We have not focused on that. Our focus is on ground wave. Again, we're not doing any Skywave testing right now, or have done none, and have not exercised the system in our simulations for that. However, during the field testing, we'll make some effort to take a look at what happens in Skywave performance. If every station were to adopt iBox, the amount of adjacent channel interference would drop depending on where you are around the directional array or wherever you are. The amount of interference in the AM band would drop somewhere between 2 and 30 dB. Could make Skywave listening a lot more enjoyable. What we do is we clear up all the first adjacent channel monkey chatter, because we ask all the digital stations will have to reduce their bandwidth to 5 kilohertz. They have a 5 kilohertz brick wall filter and noise blanking. So there's going to get improved analog reception with our receivers and digital.
Well, having heard all of that, there still seems to be the question of what happens when that RF signal itself fades, analog or digital. Tom McGinley, known to many of our listeners, helps explain.
Really, the mechanism that's going to, quote-unquote, help to save the day for the long fades on Skywave AM reception when we go digital will be time diversity. And what USADR is proposing to do is to stretch out the total time delay from the time that the transmission audio is encoded and put into the transmitter to the time when the receiver decodes it and then puts it into the speakers for the listeners. There's going to be a considerable delay there. The amount of delay, I don't think they've fixed that yet. It's all a buffering mechanism that allows for basically two sources of signals to be picked from, to be stuffed into the buffer, so that during a fade, when the real-time signal is in trouble, that's the delayed signal that the person's listening to. Maybe 5 or 10 or 20 seconds before that, there was the real signal that was being shoved into the buffer, such that the decoder then can choose bits that were lost during the fade and then blend it back to the analog sample that was pushed into the buffer, if you see what I'm saying. Blending is going to be very key during this transitional time of doing the dual analog with the side saddle digital signal.
So 5 to 7 or 10 years from now, everybody's got a digital radio, and I'm a medium wave DXer, and I'm listening at night. What am I going to hear?
Well, it's going to be all digital at that point. Once we phase out the analog component, then there's going to be a lot more power available in the digital bitstream to take and use time diversity, use all the error correction techniques, and there's going to be a lot of new ones by then that we don't even know about right now.
Ways to make the signal, if you will, more bulletproof.
Bulletproof to the skywave fade. I think you're going to see solutions for that 5, 10, 20 years out that will eliminate the problem of losing the signal, having to shut off, as people earlier were suggesting will happen. In the early going, there's going to be muting of the signal where no data will be valid to put into that speaker, and you're going to lose the reception, but then it will come back. If the digital has no valid bits to pump in there, then if the analog is there and it's useful, they will use it.
Well, that's an interesting set of opinions. We're throwing away the SkyWave, or we're worried about the SkyWave. We're narrowing the audio bandwidth in the interests of quality. I'm having trouble with that one. But no matter what, the bottom line is that once we're in the digital world, it'll never be the same. This is Mark Dernberger in Minneapolis. Till we meet again, good listening, DXers.
Hello again, everyone. Ken Beck here in the sports department for a full NBA season that starts Tuesday, November 2nd and runs to Tuesday. That was April the 19th. And here's all the stations I've accumulated. Corrections are always welcome in my office. In the Atlantic Division of the NBA, Orlando Magic, 580 WDBO. Boston Celtics, 850 WEEI. Washington Wizards, 980 WTEN. New Jersey Nets, 710 WOR. Philadelphia 76ers, 610 WIP. I don't know what happens when the Flyers run out at the same time. And the New York Knicks, 660 WFAN. There's another possible conflict with the New York Rangers when both teams play at the same time. One of them's got to go somewhere else. And the Miami Heat on 610 WIOD, and I believe Spanish on 830 WACC. Central Division, Charlotte Hornets, 1110 WBT. Indiana Pacers, 1070 WIBC. Toronto Raptors, 590 CJCL, nicknamed the Fan. Milwaukee Bucks, 620 WTMJ. Atlanta Hawks, 750 WSB. Detroit Pistons, 950 WWJ. Cleveland Cavaliers, 1100 WTAM. Chicago Bulls, 1000 WMVT, nicknamed ESPN Radio 1000. Midwest Division, defending champion San Antonio Spurs on 1200 WOAI in English and 1350 KCOR in Spanish. Utah Jazz, 1320 KFNZ. Houston Rockets in English, 950 KPRC, Spanish 920 KYST. Minnesota Timberwolves, 1130 KFAN. Denver Nuggets, 950 KKFN. Vancouver Grizzlies, 980 CKNW. Dallas Mavericks, 570 KLIF. In the Pacific Division, Portland Trail Blazers, 1190 KEX. Los Angeles Lakers, 570 KLAC. Sacramento Kings, 1140 KHTK. Phoenix Sun, 620 KTAR, in Spanish, 1480 KPNX. Seattle Supersonics, 950 KJR. Golden State Warriors, 680 KNBR. and Los Angeles Clippers, 1150 KXTA. Hope you enjoy the season, and I'll be back next month with more, and enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have a pleasant and blessed Thanksgiving, friends. Bye-bye.
On our DX Change, Francis Spindler is offering a Mint Drake R8A in the original box with the manual for $750, shipping included. You can contact Francis at area code 610-865-6546. On the convention scene, the National Radio Club's Board of Directors has so far received three firm bids for convention sites in the year 2000, but there is still time for you to forward a bid to Chairman Ken Chatterton at Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661. Or you can call him at area code 315-387-3583 if you need to find out what information needs to be submitted.
Flip over to Site 2 for more of the DX audio service.